This hour, KISU presents ASISU Speaks, a program specifically designed to discuss topics and issues related to Idaho State University from a student's point of view. The views and opinions expressed this hour are not necessarily those of Idaho State University or KISU-FM.
Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.
Welcome back to another episode of ASISU Speaks. This week, I am interviewing Senator Camden Kay, grad student getting his master's in biology with his focus in ecology. Welcome to the show, Camden.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited to see you again. I feel like it's been a long time since I've last seen you. And then the last time I saw you, you were a student body president. So it makes me really happy to see you come back again from being like president to a senator for grad school. So How's that transition been from going from pres to senator again?
Well, the president role is a lot of administrative, behind the scenes kind of things, a lot of meetings. Whereas being a senator, you really get to get in there and argue about legislation and really give your opinion on things in Senate meetings, which is a lot of fun. And I definitely miss that. And so it's good to be able to fight for things that you think ISU needs.
Yeah, no, I agree. I remember, presidents were always in meetings. And so I'm like, I almost felt, I felt a little bad because on top of being super busy, your last semester of your undergrad, you were also attending every single board meeting. You were with like almost every meeting with like President Satterley. You had to do like school board meeting. And it was just a lot of stuff. I didn't realize how much the president had to do and how present he had to be in all these different meetings. So how did you handle that, being a student and being the face of the student body?
Well, the nice thing about doing it late in your undergraduate career is you kind of have an idea of the time management that you need to use in order to be successful and stay afloat with all of the different things that you're doing. And so that really helped. It's just about being able to prioritize, you know, your academic work and your mental health and make sure that you can not get overwhelmed with all the things that you need to do.
Oh, agreed. So what made you decide to come back as a senator after you served your presidency?
Well, Ayush Jha, the current president, I'm good friends with, and he asked me about running, and I'm such a sucker for my friends.
Especially Ayush, I feel like I can't say no to like anything he like wants because he's so enthusiastic.
Yeah, he's so passionate, so nice, and so I just wanted to work with him, and it's been really fun to watch him be president and do his thing.
That's so great. And he also has you there in case, like, you know, there needs to be any questions or any like advice, which is great. So how has Senate been for you this crazy year that we've had?
We have a great group of senators this year. There are some senators that really, really know the bylaws like the back of their hand. And so they're really savvy with writing legislation and knowing processes that need to happen in meetings. And despite this just really weird year, they're still looking for ways to help students and looking for ways to be productive, which has been really inspiring to me to watch them do that. So it's been great.
That is fantastic. Every single interview I've had with the senators this semester has been amazing. Like, it feels like there's just like a million little helpers like running ISU student body. And I've been impressed, especially just seeing all the bills that's been passed. And you guys have been really great with like communication. It's cool seeing like all the bills you guys have passed and what it is and just seeing it shown in like an Instagram story. Mm-hmm. I think that's brilliant. And I'm like, oh, cool. Senate's doing something every single week. So you guys keep rocking it.
Yeah, our outreach and diversity committee has done a really great job with the social media this year, and specifically Senator Winslow. She's been really on top of things and finding ways to try to reach out, get students to know about ASISU, which, as you know, has been an ever-present issue.
Yeah, this has been a great year for marketing. I think also just like the push to everybody being online kind of makes it easier to get everybody's attention, because instead of trying to advertise to 13 different colleges and like all these different satellite campuses as well, everyone's just on a computer anyways, and like, oh, this is how we can get engagement. So this is honestly probably the best year for ASIG engagement, in my opinion.
Different, but yeah, convenient in that regard.
That's awesome. So I think we're going to move on from like talking about Senate, because I think that your degree and just like some of the stuff that you're like super passionate about is so interesting. Just from the beginning of when I met you in Senate, you've been like the green guy. You have been like pushing for ISU to go green. You've been like showing us like how to like do things in like a better way for the environment. And like, even on Instagram, you're always out in these like pretty nature spots with like a brilliant camera shot. And it's just so cool. So like, why don't you tell us a little bit about your degree and just like kind of how that got you into environmental studies?
Yeah. So when I came to ISU, I originally wanted to go to medical school, but ISU is super phenomenal with providing research opportunities to undergrads. And so after my first semester here, I was able to secure a research position in a lab that looked at plant physiology with respect to global warming and the formation of the lower tree line and some things regarding like alpine forests. And after being able to do research for a little while, I really fell in love with it. And I've always really been passionate about our natural resources. And so it made it really easy for me to decide to try to do some research that would help progress the science of conservation and protecting our wild places.
Okay. So for your research, do you guys get to go do like, I'm going to call it like field days, where you guys are just kind of out and like, I see you out in nature a lot. And like, I'm just wondering like how, okay. So I see you with fish a lot and I see you doing stuff like with rivers. And I'm just wondering if that like ties into like your research area.
So my interest in aquatic ecosystems is more of a hobby than it is what I do for my research. My research involves community ecology and the response of plants and animals to wildfire disturbance.
Oh.
But I have a bunch of friends that are involved in fisheries and stream ecology research. And that's something that I'm particularly passionate about because I love to backpack and fly fish and do these things. And so I've had the opportunity to kind of lend a hand to my peers and help them collect their data and help them do outreach and things like that. So that side is more of a hobby. I'm still very passionate about it.
You get both sides. You get like the fire and the water.
The yin and the yang.
Yeah. So your research area is in like impact with wildfires. So how has that been? Because I know this has been, or at least 2020 has been like an exceptionally hot year. So have you found like any interesting trends with that, or has it kind of just been like crazy and wild trying to take all that data and like put it together?
So this past summer was a very extreme fire year for the Western United States in particular. And global trends are suggesting that in the coming decades, especially here in the Northwest, we're going to be experiencing periods of extreme dryness and higher temperatures, which is not the case all over the world. People use the term global warming a lot, but the term climate change is a little more accurate because there are places that are going to be experiencing extreme like storm conditions, extreme wet patterns that were not the same as before. But here in the Northwest in particular, wildfire is of concern. And so my project is looking at ants, actually, who are big ecosystem engineers. They modify ecosystems by digging tunnels and moving plant matter around, and so they can really modify these ecosystems. And we're looking at how wildfire impacts them, and then in turn how they affect the plant community around them and things of that nature.
That is pretty cool. I never would have expected ants to be kind of like a key player in researching just like wildfire and ecosystems. So that's pretty interesting. Is there like any, I guess, kind of not to put you on the spot, but like any advice for like us, like just regular people to maybe like help with like the spread of wildfires, or maybe like lower that impact that humans have on wildfire season?
Well, I mean, other than the kind of traditional Smokey the Bear, like put out your fires and be careful when you're out in fire prone ecosystems. The big thing that's changing these fire regimes and making wildfires more frequent and more intense is just the overall anthropogenic impact, the climate change that we're producing. And so just by reducing your energy use and your carbon output and your single-use plastic use, all of those little things that you can make small changes in your daily life are going to ultimately help that.
Okay. The Smokey the Bear message will always reign true. I know I have been pretty aware of like my single use of plastic. Once I kind of like heard that, I guess I'm going to use trending. It just really made me realize how much like trash and waste I go through and just how much like little pieces of plastic and like just garbage I'm just going through in a day. So I know I've been trying to, you know, put my better foot forward, lower that impact. Yeah, because it's like wildfire season kind of scared me a little bit too, especially having the fire so close to Pocatello. Like I watched a big one from my apartment. And since then, I'm just like, there has to be something better that we can do. Like,
yeah, it's tough. You know, we're as a society, we're really, it's just been normalized to produce a lot of waste. And so kind of the systems that we exist in make it really difficult to not do so. You know, you can use reusable grocery bags and reusable Ziploc bags and reusable produce bags and all these little things. But as hard as you try it, you will encounter some single-use plastic. That's something that I think is improving kind of worldwide even right now. But there's obviously still a lot of work that needs to be done.
I agree. And I remember you being a part of, it was like, what is it, Conservation Club? Do we still have that on campus? I remember we were talking about it like last year in Senate. I can't really remember what the name of it was, but it sounded extremely promising to have like an environmental conservation club right here on campus.
Yeah, so we do. It's called the Sustainability Club.
Sustainability Club. I was so close.
And I have been rather absent from that the past year due to the pandemic and then transitioning into grad school and teaching during all of that. But Ritteraj has really taken that by the horns. He actually came to Senate 2 nights ago, and he is pushing for a lot of things that we really need here on campus, including a campus-wide sustainability committee, a website that kind of centralizes all of ISU's sustainability goals and things that we're doing as a community. And he actually has a plan that has a bunch of things that he's looking to install. And so he's really taken that and ran with it, and it's been awesome. And he's doing that in conjunction with the Sustainability Club. So if any students are listening to this and want to be involved in that, definitely, definitely get involved at the Sustainability Club. It's a good cause, and they're doing some cool things right now.
That is amazing. It's definitely great to get involved right now and help progress that club forward. Like I see it only getting bigger and better as these years go by. Definitely hit it up. So that's really awesome to hear about all your research, but now I'm really interested in hearing about your transition from undergrad to grad school. Because in undergrad, you were kind of like a superstar. Like Camden K was like a part of like every club possible. You were on like every event. Like I saw you interact with so many students. So I'm really interested to see how you went from all of that to now you're kind of in a grad school role, which I would assume is a little bit more intense and time consuming.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is the focus. As an undergrad, it's almost better to try to be involved in as many things as you can. But then you get up to graduate school and you really focus in on something that's extremely specific, especially with a master's program. And so I think normally that would be something that would be kind of difficult for me to do, but the silver lining of the pandemic has made it that I, you know, it's a lot more difficult to get involved in other things. So that's really forced me to focus in.
My research. I have been, this is probably the most focused I think I've been in college. And like, granted, this is my last semester of undergrad, but I would think now would be like more of a prime time to do grad school. And so it made me really excited to hear that you were coming back and you were going to be doing your master's program here. So how are you liking it so far? Are you liking your new, or I guess it's not really your new, but your department? How are you liking like your classes?
Well, I am so grateful that I decided to come to ISU because I was considering some other programs in the Northwest here as far as like interviewing and going to visit and things like that. And I ended up deciding to come to ISU, and that was right before the pandemic occurred. And so that made things a lot easier. I can't imagine how difficult it is to move to a new place and start a new life when you're less familiar with the area. And so I've had a great opportunity to continue in the department that I'm comfortable with and I love. And in the biology department in particular, we have a bunch of new faculty that have joined on in the past couple of years, and they've brought a bunch of great experience and perspectives to our department, and they're all really passionate about their students. So it's really been a pleasure.
We love to hear it. We love to hear about new, fresh professors that come in and bring just perspectives, like he said. Like my department, we just got a new advertising professor, and she's all the way from Florida and like the East Coast. So she's brought so many like new teachings and like ways to look at media and all these different things that I don't think we could have gotten without her there. And it just makes me excited to see new professors come to ISU and thrive, and students like have a new source of information and new someone else to look up to. And it's just great. So how has like teaching been for you? Are you like planning to be a teacher after you graduate, or is this just kind of part of your requirements?
So it is part of my requirements, and my hope is to continue in academia. And so teaching is kind of an important aspect of that. And I was really nervous that I wouldn't enjoy it, but I've been able to teach two separate courses now. I taught general biology lab last semester, and then this semester I'm teaching ecology, and I've just loved it. And I think it's helped that I've had such phenomenal students that have been, you know, driven and enthusiastic about the content. But yeah, I've really enjoyed it, which has been good because that reinforces that I'm doing the right thing for my future.
That's so great. What's been like the best parts about teaching for you so far? Because I feel like I would be afraid of like teaching on like a pandemic year, having to adjust everything online. So yeah, how has that been?
So that was very different, and a hurdle that definitely had to be overcome in the fall was just adapting to the new system. So that's definitely been the toughest part. But then on the flip side, when things are more normal, knock on wood, it'll feel that much easier. But the best part of teaching in my experience so far is being able to mentor students outside of the classroom. Like I've had students that have come and asked me questions about my research, and they've wanted to get research experience, and I've been able to point them into different labs to get their start in research, which has been super fun. And that's definitely one of the most enjoyable connections that you can make. And so definitely super fun.
I love that. What other areas of research would you want to do besides the one that you're doing right now? Because I like listening to you and seeing you talk, the second you say research, like your face just lights up, and I'm just so I'm just like curious, like what else would you want to research?
So this is a problem that I've faced, is I think that everything in biology is so cool. And so it's really hard for me to kind of find my niche and what I want to do. I could see myself being happy in everything from microbiology to full-blown ecosystem and global change ecology. But what I'm really passionate about is anthropogenic change and kind of the climate crisis. And so regardless—
Give me a definition for anthropogenic.
Anthropogenic is human-caused. So when someone says anthropogenic climate change, that's climate change that's caused by human action. And so we're currently entering a new geologic period called the Anthropocene right now, which is humans have had such a dramatic impact in the last several hundred years that it's altering our world on a global scale in ways that used to take millions of years and were defined by huge shifts in volcanic activity on the planet and things of that nature. And so, yeah, Anthropocene, anthropogenic change, it's all human.
That was a great example given with really good visuals. I am definitely like a visual learner. I didn't do very great in like my hard science classes, but I don't know. I think I would enjoy taking a class from you. I feel like that was explained pretty well to me. So
that means a lot.
Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing great. So I'm pretty excited to see where you end up. I think you're a phenomenal student. You've always been like what I would say like a true Bengal. And I'm glad to see you shine.
So good.
So since we're coming close to like the end of this interview here, but I kind of want to hear about some of your favorite achievements that you have accomplished at your time here at ISU.
Oh, geez. Well, of course, graduating is a big achievement, and being able to kind of move to the next level is wonderful. And I don't know if this counts as an achievement, but definitely the connections that I've made at ISU have definitely been the most fulfilling aspect of my collegiate career so far. There's so many wonderful people and so many different perspectives that you can learn from and gain something from. And so I don't know if that necessarily counts as an achievement, but it's definitely something that has had the most impact on me.
It definitely does. Having a network like is definitely one of a great achievement in my book. Well, we're getting near the end of this interview. So is there any last words you want to say to our listeners?
If you're interested in some of the things we've talked about, definitely reach out to me Or in particular, I'd like to plug the Sustainability Club again. If that's something that you're interested in and passionate in, definitely get involved.
Agreed. And also check out the ASISU Instagram page. They do lots of updates on stuff that clubs are doing on campus, even if it's like virtual, Sustainability Club included in that. Keep up with the senators. They're doing some great work, and reach out to them, and especially Camden, if you have any questions, want to get involved, because it's one of the best things you can do.
And elections are coming up, so if you're interested in running, definitely initiate that process now.
Oh, yeah. And I think I saw in like the email that they changed some of the requirements for elections, so it's not as difficult for students. So this is a prime time to run.
Yeah, we've been trying to reduce barriers for students to get involved. So reducing the deposit amount and reducing the number of signatures that students need in order to run, just to make it easier for students to get involved if they're interested in doing so.
And I, coming from an ex-senator and a current senator, Senate is amazing. If you guys want to get involved and get to know all these people all over campus that you probably wouldn't have if you were just in your department, take the risk, go run. You never know what great things could come out of it.
Definitely.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Camden, for being on the show this week.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, alumni, staff, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.